For nature.
For the ocean.
For people.
For animals.
Okay, we are live. Not live, we are recording. Okay, hello. Okay. All to all Sanus Planet friends. This is really amazing that you're here again. For our Sanus Planet podcast, I have a really nice guest today, a friend of mine, Anwar Abdullah. He's a friend of mine because I was learning how to plant and propagate corals from Anwar. Anwar, hello. Thank you for being here in the podcast.
Hello, hello everybody.
He's here already. He's a really funny guy and really nice guy. So Anwar, tell me a little bit about you and who are you? What have you done already in the last years? And how did you come to the place where you are right now?
Okay, for me, I'm now 60 years old, and I work in the coral conservation or research and do coral conservation since 1981. That means this year it will be 40 years. Okay, so I have been doing research and been doing a lot of conservation. So in 2010, I need to expand. So I started an organization called Ocean Quest. So I become the founder of this organization. So Ocean Quest, we started in 2010 in Malaysia. And then by 2012, we expand to more countries in Asia, Brunei, Philippines, and Indonesia. And then in 2013, we start in Thailand, yeah? So we start in Thailand. Now we have in Burma, Myanmar. So we also have, we've been to Maldives, and we have also project in Vietnam. We have many countries that we go. So how does it work? So the thing is that I have the knowledge and I have the experience. And I cannot go to all places and work there forever. Okay.
So what I can do is what?
What I can do is I can make copies of me. Okay?
small, tiny little Anwars.
Yeah. Yeah. Like this size. You know? Like. Okay. Okay. Maybe I can duplicate my knowledge, okay? If I make it free, I make my knowledge available to everyone, okay? If I don't aim to become a billionaire or Elon Musk or whatever Mars is this, Mars bar, whatever, you know? I don't want to be there, okay? It's this knowledge to go to everybody. Okay, why? Because I have children, everybody have children, everybody will gonna have grandchildren, right? So corals is very important. In the sea, in the tropical ocean around the world, we have the coral reef. It is the source of life, okay? And because it's sitting there, it's not making any noise. If you step on them, if they are broken, they don't bleed. So people don't care, they don't see it. They don't see that this thing that they are breaking or they are damaging, it's actually the source of life that they have along the coast, along the island, everywhere, right? They only realize when it's already dead, okay? When it's already dead, then they say, oh, there's no more fish. How come there's no more fish? They don't realize that the coral is the source of food and shelter for the fish, right? So what I want to give is I want to teach them how to grow coral, right? Because I know it's a pointless thing to go around telling people not to step on coral, not to break coral, not to do this, not anything you say no, they say yes, okay?
I face that point many times when you try to teach people in a way that you try to tell them what not to do, then they will sometimes extra do it. So it doesn't work. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So what we can do is we teach people, because one day they will get stuck. One day they will realize, oh, all the things are dead because there's no food, because coral is their food. All the fishes, all the things, the turtle is gone. And our waters, from blue, clear water with colorful coral, like the painting behind me, and suddenly become gray and brown and dead, right? And of course, if it become gray and brown and dead, not even human will go. When not even human will go, not even tourists will go. So tourism will be dead as well on coastal, on islands. Marine tourism, we call it. Ocean-based tourism will be dead, right?
Yeah.
So when that time comes, only people who knows how to grow coral will say, let's start planting them back. Okay?
Yeah.
The reason I want to teach them, because I am preparing everybody for environmental catastrophe. One day the environmental catastrophe will be so bad that they start to realize the importance of this knowledge I'm teaching them. Today, maybe 1,000, 2,000 people I already teach, but they are everywhere, okay? But 1,000, 2,000 people as compared to 8 billion people in the world today is very small.
Yeah.
But if these 2,000 people teach 10 more, it becomes 20,000. And that 20,000 teach 10 more, it becomes 200,000, right? So I am giving this for the world to realize that one day when they need this, the knowledge, it is there and it is free. Mm-hmm. Maybe 20 years from now, maybe 30 years from now, maybe 10 years from now, when it's really, really bad, then they realize that, oh, throwing things in the ocean, like a car or a bus, is not gonna help. We need to plant the coral. And that is the time that they realize that when the ocean is dead, they are going to be dead as well, right? So then people will realize it's not too late, because in anywhere, it's, the world is not the same. It's not like everywhere will die at the same time, okay? Some places will die, some places still have living coral, and that will be able to repopulate again, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the reason I teach people this knowledge. This knowledge, when I teach people, it takes a long time to learn everything. So I break it down into smaller pieces, smaller modules, I call it, education modules. And then people will learn from the beginning and then a little bit more, a little bit more. So when I do the project, normally I do a 4-year project. The first 2 years is the basic. They learn the basic, they work with their hands, they do things. And then when they get to the second and third year, they learn how to manage. And the fourth year is the end of my project, is I'm giving them their property. The project is their property now, because I hand it over to them and they take responsibility so that I can go on. Mm-hmm. I go on somewhere else and I start again. So the people did not just here I'm talking, but I'm showing them what to do, mm-hmm. right? I show them what to do, they repeat, they plant more corals, and I come back next month, I see what they do, correct their mistakes, make better, teach them management, teach them how to make income from this project. Yeah?
Yeah.
When people listen about, oh, there's a coral nursery, people are planting coral, people from Europe, from around the world, from the US, they want to come and help as volunteer.
Yeah, how I did. I heard from friends through Lee Shepherd that you exist, your work exists. So when I was there, it was amazing to see how many tourists were attracted by this, and they saw it and then they thought, oh wow, I can be part of this in my free time, in my holidays. I can help and support you to plant some corals.
That's the point. So when we get there, when people come, For example, this pen, this is one fish or one coral, and it's alive in the ocean, okay? This one fish, in the morning, somebody takes snorkelers to go and see this fish, okay? And that snorkeler may be from Canada, right? So from Canada, he came all the way to Asia to go snorkeling, to have fun, look at the fish, enjoy himself, right?
Mm-hmm.
This fish is the reason why he's here. This fish, this or this coral is why he is here, to look at the wonders of the ocean that they don't have up in Canada. They don't have up in the north, in America, right? So they came to see this. So the value of this fish goes all the way from he buying his ticket, the airline gets the money. He arrives in the location, the taxi makes the money. The hotel makes the money. The people who sell souvenir gets the money. The people who sell flip-flop, that I always lose my flip-flop, they buy them, they get the money, right? Okay? So, and then the guy will get the money, the guide get the money. Normally, this guide and this boat people, who are they? They are the local people,
yeah.
Right? So, imagine now is a different scenario. They catch this fish and they put it in the market. And they sell for 50 cents US a kilo, okay? This fish is not even a kilo. So it's worth less than 50 cents.
Yeah.
And it's gone. It's gone, okay?
Yeah.
Imagine this is a coral and it's colorful, it's green and nice or red, what colorful. And they take it and they sell it as souvenir. It's gone.
Yeah.
Right? How much is the souvenir? $5? $3?
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's gone. So the education is to tell them how much life is worth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How much life is worth if you keep this animal alive?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about fish. You now imagine now if the forest is pristine with a lot of bird watching, bird-based tourism. It's one of the biggest in North America, okay? But did they come to Southeast Asia to do bird watching? No. Why? Because most of the forest is gone.
Yeah.
Become palm oil, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how much is it worth to cut a tree and put the palm tree and squeeze some oil from it, right? They can go fry themselves every day.
Yeah.
But it's the worth of keeping nature alive. It's far more than anybody can imagine.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and this is regenerative. It's not just today. Tomorrow, another tourist came, and this fish that is alive repeats that income over and over and over and over. Right?
Yeah.
It never dies. It never goes to a frying pan or pot. Somebody eat it. No, it's swimming around happily.
Mm-hmm.
And imagine $1, one fish in the coral reef makes $1 to the local people one day. In 365 days, in 1 year, one fish make $365, right? To the local guy. Say $1 a day. If it lives 20 years, you multiply that. You will never get the price of this fish.
When you sell it.
If you sell it in the market.
Yeah.
Right?
Totally, totally.
Yeah. So that is why we need to value life. We need to not value our life. We need to value the life around us. A cat, a kitten, a bird, or a fish or a turtle, the value, if you see it that way, then the value is very, very high.
Yeah.
Life is very precious and very expensive,
yeah.
Okay?
Totally.
So that is very important. So the knowledge of coral, after 40 years now, we are successfully growing coral. In fact, I didn't go around advertise. We are now basically the largest in the world because we have so many projects. And this year we planted 60,000 corals, yeah? From March 2020 to March 2021, 60,000. Before that, when we started in 2010, not to count the 30 years more, count from 2010 to today, because the Ocean Quest exists in this time, yeah? 11 years. In that 11 years, we already planted so many, but also subtract minus more. Take from 2013, okay? 2013 to 2021, 7 years, yeah? Because 2021 is not ending yet. So 7 years. In these 7 years, we have planted, as of my record, is 415,000 corals, not including the 60,000 last year, yeah? Between 2013 and 2020, 415,000 corals. Now you multiply, one coral is 1 square meter, right? There's 415,000 square meters of coral, right? Do we ask any government to pay us? No.
No.
Do we ask volunteers to pay us to volunteer? No. Right?
Yeah.
We only make from the courses we teach. That is for the tourists. For the local people, we teach for free, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, because you do it with all of your heart, but still you need some money to that helps you to do what you do, and you need to live too. How do you do that? Yes. Maybe you can tell me the picture there.
So what I do for my personal income, I do painting as a hobby and as well as for my income. So every year I sell a lot of painting. I will start to display on the wall. I still have some because I just moved house. And then I will make this house like a little gallery so that people can see when I take a video. And I also have a big painting going on right now. And so that is my personal income. For Ocean Quest, the organization, they make income from education, okay? When I teach the course, registration is $12. Imagine that, $12 only for one student goes to Ocean Quest, okay? Mm. But because we have 2,000 over trainers, and some of them teach 10 people a month, 5 people a month, so many $12 go into this little bucket. It goes to Ocean Quest, and it pays for travel, it pays for a lot of expenses going on. Mm. But when we have a project, like now we're going to start the Battle of the Reef project, right? Mm-hmm. We will have people, a lot of people try to help us. And then we will ask them if you can help us. We need a boat, we need a laboratory, we need diving equipment, we need other things. And also when we buy those things, properties, when we have properties, we have assets, we call it. When we have assets, the asset will also cost over time because to maintain, to run, to keep it running, you know, and also to train the people how to use them, it also incur time and cost, okay?
Yeah.
So that is when people come and say, I would like to adopt a coral, for example. And then they will give us some money and we will make some coral for them. And every month we will send a picture of this coral growing, you know, for 5 or 6 years after that. And then we stop because the coral is already big. They can already see. Mm-hmm. So the thing is that wherever we go, we recreate the reef that is dying or dead reef back to life. Okay. We don't make our dream garden. We don't repair something that's not damaged. We don't restore something that's not damaged, but we will find the place that is damaged and bring back the life to it as before. Mm-hmm. Right. So that is what we do. But to do it in a big scale in the world, we need to work with people, with the hand, right? Yeah. We don't want people who talk with a paper, with the documents, with the journals, with the articles. That is why we are not so well known, because we don't advertise so much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people who work on this type of approach by using mathematical model, something that is, you can't touch and feel and see the result. But for us, we teach people how to grow coral. And this is tangible result. Tangible result means you can touch and feel and see.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. I planted it this big, 2 centimeter. Now it is 15 centimeter.
Mm-hmm.
They can see it, mm-hmm. right? When people can see it, then people trust you,
yeah.
right? People trust us not because we are good at talking, not because we are good at selling, or not because we have so many journals in so many universities. We don't want that, because it doesn't benefit anybody in the world.
Yeah.
It only benefit the people up there. The people in the coast who really need it, it doesn't have any benefit.
Mm-hmm.
The benefit is when the coral reef is intact and the fish is back, the sharks is back, the turtles is back, and tourism can continue for unlimited, indefinite time, you know, because they take care of the environment. They appreciate the environment, and the environment give back to them continuously,
yeah.
right?
Totally.
So that is how we want to work. We don't want to work, I have found a scientific solution. Yeah, if you go to, say, YouTube, for example, you say, coral reef, coral gardening system, or planting coral, you will find thousands scientific solution for coral reef rehabilitation, or we were gonna restore the world's coral reef. Since 20 years ago, people keep posting this thing, giving us false hope that scientists is going to restore the coral reef. But where is it? Where is it?
Mm.
Since 20 years ago, people are posting in YouTube and everywhere, helping the reef, restoring the reef. Where is it?
Yeah.
We learn from this. We learn from this and we say, okay, we don't want all this. We want proof. That's why we are the largest in the world today, because we plant it, we grow it.
We actually do it. yes.
Yeah. We grow it. And people say, where's your reef? Come to me, you come with me. I show you, Maya Bay, we have 40,000 corals. We go Perhentian Island, we have 2,000 corals. We go, people can see it, right? So now it beats everything. Maybe if I put all my documents together, I can have PhD or something, but it's only paper.
Yes.
But if I put everything, effort in the ocean, and I grow, and people can see it, and people can get the benefit from it,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It beats all the qualification in the world I can have,
mm-hmm.
right?
The paper does not change anything.
No, yeah.
Paper doesn't
change. That is why I find it more rewarding. Mm-hmm. I can go the academic line long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I become PhD of something and sit in an office, air conditioned, and get paid. Right?
Yeah.
yeah. But I don't want to go that line, because it is not what I want.
Yeah.
What I want is, I want to get people to learn, so that people ask me, what do you do? I say, I plant coral. How much? A lot. Yeah. And then how do you do it? Then I explain to them how I do it. That is my qualification.
Mm.
That is my return, my reward,
yeah.
right? My reward is when I see things is working. And when I go and ask all my students, and how's your coral? Oh, it's great, it's growing. You want to see pictures? Then they start showing me the pictures, right?
Mm.
And then, okay, maybe tomorrow I go snorkeling with them, see their corals, and help them with more, to make more,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
These are the things, the result, and people can touch and feel. So I was trying many, many years ago, trying to tell people, don't give people false hope.
Yeah.
Don't tell people you have a solution when you don't prove it in the ocean, right? You have to prove it in the ocean. You have to plant it. You have to work with the people, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have to zip your mouth when people did not learn very well. You have to smile. You don't get angry with them because, of course, they are not educated.
Yeah.
They want to learn something. Okay. They make mistakes. Or maybe they are not used to our way. You know, our way is working 20 hours a day or 16 hours a day. They work 2 hours and then they sleep in a hammock.
Right? Right? So I saw that when I was there. It was funny, but it's true. Yeah, it's their holidays too, and they want to enjoy. Yeah, it's okay. And if they help 2 hours a day, it's nice too. Right? It's nice to help too.
2 hours a day, 365 days. They give you a lot of hours.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
So why complain? A lot of people they want people to work the way they work, and it doesn't work. With a lot of people, they are not educated, they are less. That is why I make my education system so simple. Almost, I take all the scientific thing away so that people can understand what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to talk about when they look at me in the face, like, oh, what is he talking about?
Yes, don't get it. When you would have Latin names of the corals, like Acropora stuff, nobody would I really understand in the end, no?
And then
make it simple.
When they look at me, when they look at me like I'm a zombie, I know they don't understand, right?
Yeah. Right? That's the moment where you change.
Yeah. So I make it simple. I make a lot of things for people to learn. The only thing that helped me grow is people.
Yeah.
Right? Like we said, yes, we need money. Yes, we need material. Yeah, money is something that is going to be depleted. No matter how much you get, it's going to deplete. It's going to go away.
Yeah.
Go away, right? Time, as we speak, time goes away. We cannot turn it back, right? We cannot reverse the time. Time is the depleting factor. Money is the depleting factor. Many things around us depleting factor. The only thing that is not depleting, is growing and growing, is the number of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we use people, then we are using a growing commodity, a growing approach, right?
Yeah.
A regenerating approach.
And so I have to say how the way you do it, it's even like, I mean, the people who listen to this podcast right now, they will see as well, you're a funny guy. So it's not just scientific and boring and very it's like that and that and that, so one line, no, we have a lot of fun too, and it makes fun to grow something which is creating a better world. This is fun, and
of course
it has to make fun to really like it and to do it more often and more long and to make it really that people want to do it. It's funny. So everyone who listens to this, go to Anwar and have a lot of fun growing cold.
No, it's not fun and it's not funny when people start to disappear.
Right.
As you speak, you speak about coral, blah, 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 Acropora, this and that, Duzankale, this, all the scientific stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then first they feel sleepy, right? And then, and then they try to stay awake and they start to feel like they are puking, right?
Exactly.
And then, it's benign and boring and it's useless when you do education that way.
Yeah.
But when you do education with joke and with things like happy and make it fun, and people feel that they accomplish something.
Yeah.
If they plant 10 corals today, right? They never did it before. That's a life of accomplishment for them.
Yes, yeah.
Maybe I plant many 100,000 corals and I don't feel it. But for them, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
For the people, it's a big deal. Even if they plant one coral,
They
say, wow, I never know I can plant coral. This is my baby today.
And they're able to contribute in this great change we really need. That's awesome. Yeah. Well, Anra, I have one question, a big question. And that's maybe a hard one. Some people tell me when I was planting the corals or when I was taking out the ghost nets from the ocean, when I was diving and things like that, people say, hey, but then you take out one net today, but you know at the same time there are thousands of nets going in the ocean at the same time. Isn't it frustrating? What is your answer on this question? Because I have
My answer is that if we don't continue to do, right, if we don't continue to do, then it continue to accumulate. If you continue to remove, eventually, don't forget, laws, restriction, and all this, sooner or later, fishing regulations is getting stricter and stricter, right? So I know the European Union, EU, has already tell like Thailand and Myanmar, they have to have identification for the net. When they lose the net, and when we find it, and there's ID, then we can report this ID, right? So regulations like that, right? So when the regulation gets stricter, there are less nets are going to loss, right? Yeah. So yeah, now it's the beginning stage. You can say, yeah, what you're doing doesn't matter. It's like 1,000 nets is going to go down in the ocean today when you are removing just one. Yeah, of course. In the beginning, everything is slow, right? But if you don't continue to do it, right? And people will start to say, yeah, nobody does it anymore. Forget it. It's so bad. We don't have to do it anymore. Then that's the time that we are losing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Not we. Everybody is losing. Everybody is losing. Yeah. Right? So the ghost net, every time they go in, especially when they're still new, when they're not covered in algae or something, they continue to catch fish.
Yeah.
Yeah. We already have less fish in the ocean. If we don't control it, one day, those nets will take high percentage of the fish away.
Yeah.
Right? And don't forget, they are made of plastic. So when plastic degrade, they also release the toxin in the sea.
Yeah.
Right? So when toxin, when a lot of chemicals in the sea, what they do, the sun will cause evaporation, it goes up in this cloud and rain down as acid rain, as toxic rain and all this. This is why we are having all these things, because the pollutant we put in the sea is so much, not just the net, but we can add in the plastic, we can add in the fertilizer from all this plantation that's going down the river into the ocean and all this added up together, right? It's a mess. It's a big mess, right? But this big mess, now everybody is talking sustainability, not just in Europe, not just in America. Now even in Central America, in South America, in Asia, which is less advanced, people are talking about sustainability, right?
Hmm.
That means they're now beginning to have the knowledge, right? So slowly, then the regulation will change accordingly, right?
Yeah.
So by the time that the regulation catch up, if we are doing something, we are also catching up, right? If we are doing nothing, we are just about to start. You don't even know where to start because it's too much of that.
Yeah.
Right? So, people who find excuse not to do things because they think it's pointless, yeah, a lot of them around, but...
Yes.
Yeah, there's same amount of people who are caring as well. If they don't want, we are not forcing. We can do it.
You know? Yes. Yeah.
We can always do ghost net. We can always do, Hey, it's fun. Every day when you come back, yes, you are tired, but, you take a lot of nets out of the ocean. You save a lot of dolphin and fishes from dying because of it, so. And then you sit around the fire in the evening, talk about it, tomorrow you go again. Exactly. Isn't it fun?
It's beautiful. Yeah
Provided you don't drink too much the night before, you can dive in the morning.
That's exactly No Jack Daniels, no Jack Daniels. That's amazing. So, it's really beautiful the work you do. And what is exactly, I mean, for all the people who are listening to this podcast, they are Sanus Planet people. They're people which are looking on the Sanus Planet webpage, right? So tell the people, Sanus Planet is supporting many organizations. And at the moment, Sanus Planet is supporting ANWR with the coral planting. So we are sending 3,000 euros this week to you. What can you do with this money and why do you need what you do with it?
Okay. Three months ago, I wanted to start a campaign. And this campaign is called Battle of the Reef. A lot of people say maybe it's Battle for the Reef. No. The reason I name it Battle of the Reef is because the reef is struggling. It's their battle, right? Their battle against destruction, right? Yeah. And then what we are going to do is we are going to provide assistance to their battle to survive, okay? The first thing we need to do is, besides restoring or planting coral in damaged places, we need to protect it, right? We need to protect it by having means to go to the reef and tell people not to step on the coral, not to put the nets or something, right? Mm-hmm. So the means to go there normally is a boat. So what we need is we need a small boat so that it can go in shallow water on the reef where people are, you know? So this small boat is what the money is used for. We are going to buy the boat and a small motor so that two or three people can go around. And then also when we need to move the equipment for the coral planting, we can also bring it to the other beach or other bay in those areas. And then it gives us more mobility and less cost. If we have to rent the boat every time we need to go, it costs us so much. By having one boat, and if say in a 4-year project, and that boat is already there, and we don't have to invest money every day for the rent, right? So that is very helpful with a small boat. And also we make sure that the boat is used only for conservation work and not going around having fun looking at sunset, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, they can have sunset on.
That's really amazing. That's really cool, Anwar. I love the work you do. That's why I was there, and I got to see how you work, and it was really impressive as well to see that you don't use any constructions what you put in the ocean. Some strange things which are materials from us. So
yes, that's
what people do, huh? But
yeah. What that's the thing that I want to also tell people. You see, if the forest is dead, right? If somebody destroyed the forest, if you want to restore the forest, you plant trees, correct? To replace back the trees so that the trees become a habitat again for wildlife, right? But because the ocean, people don't see it. It's covered by water. People don't see it. They say, oh, maybe you throw a house or maybe you throw a car, you know, to replace no, the answer is no. If coral is dead, you need to replant the coral. That's how you restore environment, right? You don't restore the forest by taking my house and put it in the forest, right? So that the monkey and squirrel and everything live in it. No, they won't live in my house, right?
Yeah.
And besides, I need my house. Okay. So anyway, back to the story. For example, you use metal. Metal, you put metal and you take corals and you tie on the metal. What's wrong with that? I give you an example. Now I go to the shop, I buy metal and I make something like this. Okay. Like what I'm sitting inside now. Yeah. So I make a structure. And I go to the forest. I make a metal ring or something. I hang outside my window. And I go to the forest. I catch a bird. I catch a parrot. And I tie it to my metal, right? I tie it to my metal and I start giving them food every day. Can I tell you in 1 year, down the line, can I tell you, hey, Maggie, look, my parrot is still alive. I'm doing parrot conservation. Was that acceptable? No, right?
No.
It's not acceptable. You make your structure, you make your metal, and you catch the wildlife and you put on your metal and you call it conservation. You can't.
Yeah.
Right? Coral is the same. The reason is because coral don't make any sound and they don't bleed, right? People is not considerate. They make all kind of structures and they start tying them on their structures and they call it conservation. There is no scientific benefit of it. There's no educational benefit of it. There's no community benefit from it, right? The only benefit is the people who make money from it, right? When you buy something, money change hands, right? And then you take the material, you go to the fabricators, they make them. Money change hands again. And then you put it on the transport and the transport bring it to the ocean. Money change hands again, right? And then you put it on a boat, money change hands. And then on the boat, there's a crane. They put it in the water, money change hands again. So from the beginning, from buying until it goes in the water, which part of it is conservation? No. None of it is conservation, it's business.
Yeah.
It's absolutely business, right? Mm. If they really want to grow coral, they grow it naturally.
Yeah.
Just like the forests do.
Right? And that's the low tech too. That's the lowest technology you can use, because the world is not made from technology and the world doesn't need it. We created technology. But just because we don't understand the things, how they really work, doesn't mean that everything in nature needs technology. It's crazy.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then you see, that is the example of metal. Now, if you see concrete is the worst. Concrete is the worst material you can use for replacement of reef. Okay. I'll tell you why. Now, to make our house, to make our building, right, in the cities. In the world, we use 54 million tons of concrete each year. Mm-hmm. Where does it come from? It comes from the mountains and hills, and it flattens all everything. It blasted dynamite, everything, and they take it and they make it for our house. Mm-hmm. Okay? That is our habitat. That is why we don't put it in the forest for the monkeys, right? So we already make so much destruction on land. The rivers, we are taking all the sand from the rivers to make the concrete. The rocks from the mountains and also the lime from the limestone to make cement. And every place that we take these things, we destroy the environment, okay? And then when it comes to coral conservation, you buy many thousand tons of it to throw it in the ocean in the name of conservation. And you close your eyes completely to the destruction it caused to the river, to the hills, to the limestone, to the mountains. How can you do a conservation of ocean when you ignore the destruction you cause on land, on this planet, on the same exact planet? We are not doing ocean conservation on Mars. We are doing on the same planet.
Yes, it's still here, huh?
Mm. So the destruction, ethically, it is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. So environmental ethics means that we have to be ethical with the material we use.
Yeah.
And the best material we use is the one that is natural. It's there, it's in the ocean. Yeah. If the coral is dying, we find out why. If it can be replanted, we find out how. And we replant it back. We take care of them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. We are humans. We are the most intelligent being. We're supposed to be the steward of the planet, right?
Not always.
But we are the steward of our pocket.
Yeah.
Try to fill it up, you know, and basically ignore the future of humans itself. Ignore the future of the children that is unborn still, that is going to come. the next and next generation, we are robbing them from what they have, right?
Yeah.
If we don't restore the reef, we don't restore the forest, we keep on going with what we are doing, right? Luckily, COVID-19, this pandemic has already actually stopped many things. And a lot of coral reef is recovering, actually. And a lot of forests also recovering, yeah? Many wildlife that we had never seen for many years come back. So that's a good sign, right? So from this on, I hope after the pandemic, people will change. People will start to realize, oh, if we start eating bats and monkeys and all these things, disease will come back to us one day.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, it is connected, definitely. You don't eat animals, right, Anwar?
Yeah. No, I don't.
You don't eat animals, you don't eat fish. Why? I mean, I know why, but I know why, but...
Yeah, I don't eat something that look back at me, you know? How can you look at an animal that look back at you and eat it?
Yes, exactly.
I don't. Sometimes people didn't know when I visit their country or I visit their village or somewhere, and they put it, you know, on the table. I will tell them I don't eat anymore. They will move them away. Yeah, people respect you, you know.
Yeah.
So I plant my own vegetable. I have a little garden, so I spend very less money because I know how to do garden. If I can plant coral, I can plant trees.
Zucchini. Exactly. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Hey, Anwar, we are kind of at the limit from the time. Let's say maybe another time we make another podcast, the second part of it. We can do that, right? But
of course.
The last thing what I want to ask you, what is your main message to the world? What do you want to tell the people mainly? What is your big thing you want to pass on?
My big thing to pass on is that while the knowledge is available, I want people to pay attention and absorb it, learn it, you know, because people are good at learning, right? But this is a good thing. This is a very important thing to learn. Okay, so we provide it most of the time. We provide it for free. Okay, so it is not expensive. It's readily available, universally available. Basically, if anyone from Mars or anywhere come here and say, "Hi, Anwar, I want to learn how to," I will teach them. Right. So that's universally. Universally available. Okay, so learn while the thing is on. Now I'm 60 years old. I probably retire when I was 65 or 70. You know, I still have time to work, and I still want to contribute while I can. You know, no matter if I already retired, there will people continue for me. Okay. And I will always be around to have a look. So while this knowledge is available and I'm still researching, I'm still doing things to improve it, it is time for people to learn from it. Okay?
Yeah. Nice. So what I want to say at the end as well is, if someone wants to support you, they can go on your webpage, which I will put in the show notes. So underneath, there's a link. And go there.
Yeah, for this 1 week, my webpage is down because we are changing the domain.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We are moving the domain from US to Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a while for the process.
That's okay. Podcast comes out a little bit later than we record it. So it comes out in 2-3 months. And so the people can check out there. They can even follow you on Facebook, I think, right?
Facebook is always functioning. Mm. I have many pages on Facebook. The Ocean Quest Global page. We have Ocean Quest France. We have Ocean Quest Thailand. Mm. Each location, whatever activity they're doing, you can also follow. Mm-hmm. And we even have a cooking page. We have Ocean Quest Vegan.
Really?
And vegetarian page, where you can learn how to cook vegetarian food.
Oh, that's amazing. I will connect you with a friend of mine who can send you one, two videos maybe to support with some good, nice food, vegan food.
Yeah, if anybody want to contribute recipes and things like that, please, it is open. It is not like any other Facebook page where people cannot put the comments or anything. It is open. Mm. My website, my Facebook is never blocked from anything.
Yeah, that's
great. It's free for everybody to go and speak. Right.
Nice. That's
sometimes
awesome.
There are critics. Yeah. Sometimes, of course, people are critics, but maybe the critic is good.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe the critic teaches you something.
Yeah.
You can always learn in every age, right? Everyone can learn.
Yeah. So that is the reason I did not make it restricted or make it limited. No. It's open for everybody.
Nice. Yeah. And if someone wants to specially support you personally, not Ocean Quest, then they can check out or write you about your paintings, and then you can send them pictures of your paintings, right?
Yeah. It's they can see it. Sometimes I'm posting on my Facebook as well.
Nice. Yeah. Okay. Janra, thank you so much for your time. This was amazing. Yeah. I will stop the recording now, and I say very much, much thank you. And I'm happy that we are able to support you a little bit, and then we will see how much more people will understand and learn from you and come and help you as well. That's really amazing.
Okay.
Thank you for your work.
Yeah. I will be happy to talk to them again in my submarine.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Thank you, Andrew. All thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye.